Welcome to the Bridging the Divide podcast. Each week, we'll explore the key factors that have contributed to today's economic divide, hear from experts and changemakers, and offer practical insights for aspiring entrepreneurs who are ready to break down barriers and inspire others. Join me as we navigate the challenges and opportunities for closing the economic gap, one conversation at a time. Welcome to Bridging the Divide. I'm your host, Rolando Bonilla. Thank you all for your continued support and for your questions. I'm actually pretty astounded at the level of questions that keep coming in. So, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. As I do each podcast, I do wonder if folks are listening, and there's no greater feeling to know that people are listening and actually interacting with us by sending questions that are top of mind for them on their journey to develop a small business. You know, this week's question is a great question because it's one of those soft skills that's often overlooked. You know, we get really caught up with PowerPoints and business plans and, you know, budgets, sales pipelines, all important. Undoubtedly, without them, you do not have a business. You do not have a pathway to growth. But there's an often overlooked one that I myself have not really thought about until recently, and as recent as last week when I received this question from a viewer. And the question is, Rolando, even with all of this technical advice, I have a problem with my confidence. I often stay in my head and don't have the confidence to just go for it because I do feel a little overwhelmed. You know, that's a deep question, actually, and it's one that I myself have encountered with plenty of aspiring entrepreneurs out there. How do you deal with confidence? What do you, you know, what is the secret to confidence? And obviously, the only person I can talk about is myself. You know, I have always said that confidence is one of these things that over time, you earn, and you earn it through mistakes. You earn it through just going for it. You earn it by making adjustments and treating, you know, negative moments, even positive moments, as data points that require interpretation, and that interpretation then gets incorporated into your day-to-day movements. I'll give you a great example. This podcast has been a thought of mine for quite some time, given the volume of folks I interact with that reach out to be seeking business advice. I kept saying to myself that I was going to do it, but even I fell into the trap of, but I need certain elements to be in place. I want things to be a particular way. And finally, I had to sit myself down and say, hey, man, you have to do what's always worked for you. And what's always worked for you has been to just jump in. You've done your analysis. You know where you want to go. Now the only way to actually turn this into something is to actually jump into the fight and then learn from that fight to make the assessments you need to make this program better. An example of that is the fact that, I don't know if you've been listening, you'll notice that last couple of weeks I've been answering questions. Wasn't something I had scripted, wasn't something that I was thinking about, but given the volume of interactions that I'm getting, the interest that I'm getting, the legitimate questions that I'm getting very quickly, at least for now, it's abundantly clear that I have to engage with those questions. And now my format is changing subtly to really come through and answer those questions. But confidence is that, right? You have to have the confidence of accepting that you're going to make mistakes, accepting that you're going to, you know, I don't want to call it fail, but that you're not going to get it right the first couple of times, that you're going to get rejected, and that when you do get rejected, newsflash for you, it's not the end of the world. Look, I've lost elections in a very public way. I'll never forget an election as recently as 2022, where I had a massive party. There was the belief and perception, given the fact that I had broken at that time every campaign fundraising goal in San Jose, that I was going to be the overwhelming winner. And when 8:05 p.m. hit on election night, I wasn't the winner. I started out the night in last place. as hard as that is to say, that's where I was. Eventually worked my way up in a tight election, worked my way up out of last place, but nevertheless, clearly I did not win. Now I'm going to paint a picture for you. I've got countless people. I'm talking about at least about 100 people in this restaurant were there celebrating. It was festive. Leading into that, Bay Area Press was calling me, setting up interviews for me on election night. Again, the assumption being that I was going to make it into the second round. And then I lost. And I remember when the results came in, I got interviewed by a local reporter. Shout out to San Jose Spotlight. I get a reporter asking me what I thought of the early results. Now, look, I've been in politics for going on 28, 29 years here. I knew exactly what the results meant at 8 o'clock at night, that I lost, that there was absolutely no mathematical way for me to overcome that. And yet my response at the time to the press, part of it because I was shell-shocked, the other part because I was hopeful, but deep, deep down inside knowing it was impossible, my response was something to the extent of, oh, the ballots are still yet to be counted, fully counted, and, you know, I'm feeling good about where I'm at. I'm in last place. What is there to feel good about, right? But I say all this, and life goes on. And to add insult to injury, I remember getting a call from a TV station saying, hey, do you have the phone numbers of the folks that came in first and second? No, I did not have the phone numbers of the folks that came in first and second, but think about that. I'm over there in front of 100 people. I also have to give a speech now, on the assumption that I was going to win, and now I have to give a speech about, we're not going to make it. Pretty big, pretty public. No, you can't really hide from that, right? But guess what? The next day is a new day. New challenges, new opportunities, new ways to get better. I did not allow for that very public rejection. That's what an election loss is. I did not allow for that very public election loss, that rejection, to in any way define who I am. If anything, I've learned so much from it. I actually think I'm better at what I do because of that experience. I've got more resilience. I've got a deeper understanding of things. I know what it's like to be on the front line because I've been on the front line. And so that's just it. Rejection, the idea of failure, you have to just go for it, right? You just have to go for it. It's the equivalent of real estate. I can't tell you how many times I have people tell me, whatever your theories are in real estate, at the end of the day, at least in the Bay Area, here's how it's been. It keeps going up, right? Now, I'm not saying that's normal. I'm not saying that's not. It's just what it's been. And so I still have people that last 10 years have been telling me they're waiting for the perfect market conditions. And the problem, though, is that in that decade, those market conditions have only led to the continued increase in the price of that real estate. Now think about that. And now these same folks who are clearly seeing the same patterns I'm seeing out of fear of making the wrong choice continue seeing the value of that real estate go up and up and up and up and up. And at some point, right, if you don't jump in, it's going to continue to go up and you're going to get left behind. Now, again, I understand there are different market factors in terms of why, people don't get into real estate. Some do, some don't. But the point I'm trying to make with that story is that the world keeps going. It leaves you behind if you don't make a decision, if you don't just go for it, if you don't just really take the time to invest in yourself enough to do the analysis and accept that even when it's perfect, it can still go wrong, but that's the risk you're willing to take because the results, if it goes right, are so great to you that you're not going to allow for yourself to get left behind in this perpetual land of thinking and theory and having internal conversations with you and, reading every inspirational quote and reading. Look, that's all great. But at some point, you got to get on the field. And at some point, you got to score, right? And so whether you score on the first try, that's TBD, right? That comes down to you. That comes down to the circumstances. But the more you do that, the more comfortable you are, right? The more you do that, the more you accept the fact that you are not going to lose because you're going to keep moving forward. Right? And I'm not the first and I'm not the last to say this, right? But this has been the secret to my success. I remember, you know, the first times that I started in business, and I'll be upfront with you, out of necessity, right? There weren't a lot of opportunities at times for me, and, you know, for different reasons, but I knew that I had no choice but to move forward. So one of the other secrets for me has been I have worked on this. You hear Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about this all the time. There is no plan B. And I agree with that. For me, the secret has always been there is no plan B. Plan A or nothing. Even in that election, up until that point, everything I did, every moment of my breath, every meal that I had, every interaction that I had was geared towards the notion that I must get that outcome no matter what. Now, in life, we win, we lose. Yes, it is possible for you to hate losing as I hate it. But that doesn't change the fact that life is win or lose. And so every one of these moments where I've been beat up, and it may have felt like the end of the world, again, I'm still here. I'm still here. You know, am I where I want to be? Well, my answer to that is always going to be no. I mean, that's part of what motivates me, that I set these high goals for myself. I push. And ultimately, I try to get myself to a place where I'm better off today than I was yesterday. And I don't just mean professionally. I mean as a person as well. That's the mindset I've had to have. That's the mindset that I've seen work the best. And you also have to be honest with yourself, right? Like, you have to sit there and say to yourself, oh, am I afraid of just jumping into the game? But I went to practice. I studied the game tape. I understand my opponent. In this case, I did a market analysis. I know what my products are. I know the potential dangers or competitive dangers to my product. If you haven't done that and you're still stuck on, oh my goodness, what if I fail? Well, that's why you're going to fail. Right? Because you're not taking the time to really understand what it is you do in the first place. If you don't understand all those variables and you don't take the time to understand, and look, and it's not going to be perfect, but at least have enough knowledge base that what you're doing goes from risk to, honestly, just an exercise. Because in most instances, you're able to completely mitigate, or at least get close to completely, in my experience, mitigating risk by taking the time to understand what that risk is in the first place. And once you understand something, then the risk drops because now you have a better understanding of where to step or not to step. But if you're constantly saying to yourself, this is not my time yet, I'm not ready, but for example, using the real estate example, but you're sitting there and you're not paying attention to the fact that the house that in 2004 cost $100,000 and now, you know, in 2014 cost $300,000 and now here we are in 2025 and now that house costs $1 million. If you're not paying attention to that trend, which is clearly demonstrating to you that house valuations are going up, then you have absolutely, literally, you're lying to yourself and saying that you're serious about business. Because if you can't even take that into account, then how on earth are you expecting to ever jump on the field and have a chance of success? But in reality, you're not. It's the equivalent of saying, you know, for those of you who like sports, I'm a big sports guy, it's the equivalent of coming to your coach on game day and saying, hey, coach, and it's the World Cup final. Hey, coach, I'm ready to go in. Put me in. But you haven't been at practice. You haven't studied our opponent. You don't know what our preferences are. And now you think you're ready to play in the World Cup just because you showed up? Of course you're not ready to play. But because you have your uniform on, because you're on the stadium floor, you think you're a player. You're not a player. You're in the words of the great American poet, 50 Cent, you're a studio wankster, right? You are pretending to be in business. You are pretending to actually take those steps, but you're not, because you're not doing your due diligence, which you have a fiduciary duty to yourself to do. That's right. You have a fiduciary duty to yourself to do that if you're serious about taking this leap and creating this opportunity for yourself and for your family. That's it, right? That's it. So for me, my confidence comes from this. I will always prepare. I will always do the due diligence. I read incessantly, right, on the subject matters that are important to me, and even on the subject matters that I don't. Every morning I read the Financial Times. I read the Wall Street Journal. I read Bloomberg. I read the San Francisco Chronicle. You know, I read the LA Times. I'm sorry, the LA Times. I take that in, not just because I want to say I'm doing. Now, of course, I'm not reading from cover to cover. I'm you know, in the business section. I'm in the local political section. You know, but the reality is you cannot prepare. You cannot say you're preparing if you're not bringing information in. So I prepare. I prepare incessantly. The other one is, and this is, again, this is something I'm not the first to say, and I won't be the last, but I do bet on myself. I do know that from a work ethic standpoint, I'm obsessive. And not because I'm buying into this hustle culture, you know, stuff. That could be a little overinflated, but I'm obsessed with this because this is what I love to do. Like, I am legitimately doing what I love to do. I love every step of it. I love it so much so that I'm even doing this for no other reason than I enjoy sharing what I've learned along the way. I love what I do. Therefore, I do work 7 days a week. Now, obviously, it's different, right? Some more than others. Some of those days, it's a phone call. Some of those days, it's a lot of phone calls, a lot of meetings. Some of it, I'm on a plane. I'm driving to different cities. But to me, it's something that I'm willing to do. And I may have said this a couple of, you know, of episodes earlier. Your social calendar, at least in the beginning, needs to be really small compared to your business calendar. And if you're looking to find opportunities that will grow your business, they're not going to come from you having a heavy social calendar but not having a heavy business calendar. This reminds me of an incident one time where someone was celebrating the beginning of their business, and it was an industrial type of business that required, at least from my vantage point, required presence, ownership presence, in order to not only develop those products but actually sell them. And I remember finding out that the half the ownership team was constantly traveling, not for business, for pleasure. Again, nothing wrong with that. But you're starting a business. I knew the moment I heard that, I knew that business was going to be dead within 6 months. And I was close. It was dead within 4. Because it's just not sustainable, particularly in the beginning, that initial lift, for you to be able to build your business without having a presence there. So again, you have to be willing to put in that work. The more you put in that work, the more repetition you see, the more patterns you're able to identify, the more you're able to see what works for your company, what doesn't, better understand your product, better understand your customers. That's where confidence comes from. You know, I think Kobe Bryant may have said this one time, the more you practice, the more comfortable you are, because you've already done that scenario thousands of times. So if you're out there nervous, yes, you're always going to have a level of nervousness because we're human, but that should be the extent of it. Because what you don't want is a situation where your product and your business are also part of that anxiety because you don't understand them. You don't understand who you're selling to. You don't understand who needs your product. You don't understand how much it costs to generate clients. You don't understand, you know, if you need to do this in a language other than in English, for example. If you don't understand those things, of course you're not going to be confident. But if you don't understand those things, that's on you for not taking the time to do that homework, to really have that playbook going, and to recognize that everything you write in that playbook better be in pencil, because as you grow, you're going to have to make adjustments to that playbook. What worked for you day one isn't going to work for you day 474. Right? So you have to constantly learn, constantly look for feedback, constantly look to identify yourself, and, you know, in terms of who are the people around you that can help you gain that knowledge base. What are the sources of information you can access? What are the books you're reading? What are the, you know, the magazines you're reading? What are the business magazine, newspapers you're reading? That to me is also a big reason why a lot of folks tend to walk into the space without confidence. I cannot tell you how many times I get these conversations where I do come up with issues like this, and when I actually ask basic questions like, "Do you understand your, you know, what's your annual, you know, number, revenue number look like? What does that number look against expenses?" And I get a lot of blank looks. I mean, that's basic. That's like asking me for my social security number. Like, I got to know that, right? Or when I ask folks, hey, you know, what is your top level market? And their response is, oh, everyone. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, even Nike has identified that they're talking to athletes, right? Yes, we all wear shoes, but they have a particular segment of the demographic that they want to appeal to so that we can feel connected to that demographic, right? So again, confidence to me is really another way of saying, if you say I don't have confidence, what you're also saying to me is you're not doing your homework. And I know it sounds brutally harsh, but you're not doing your homework. Because if you did your homework, and I can promise you this, if you do your homework, and you have answers to those questions, and you put in that time to really understand that, you will not even have the ability to sleep because you're so excited, because you've now unlocked the code. You've now unlocked the code of what it takes to really get your business going. And this applies for, you know, whether you're selling shoes, whether you're selling car, whatever it is, right? If you understand who makes sense to you, who connects with what you do, then you have completely put your company on a path for success. Whereas if you don't do any of that, you are literally shooting in the dark and hoping something lands. And then when it lands, you'll think it's because you're good. No, it's not. It's because you got lucky, or you were that one person that built that one product that, you know, is changing the world overnight. But that doesn't happen like that either. Right, there's a process of understanding these questions before something goes to market that gives them the ability to succeed. So I would say, in a nutshell, where do I get my confidence from? As I said, preparation. Simple as that. Ongoing preparation. The acceptance that I am a lifelong learner, not only in terms of my companies, but also in terms of my desire to add to my intellectual base, right? And the other one is this combination of I will always bet on myself because I will outwork you, right? That sounds cliche. That's something that we all hear. It's definitely something I abide by. And, you know, for me, that's always been the secret sauce. I will work as hard as it takes. And when you marry those two, you do have a supreme confidence in knowing that you're ready to play, because you know you've done all the preparation that you need, so that when you do go to your coach, you know, during the World Cup final, your coach actually isn't waiting for you to come to him or her. Coach is looking at you saying, I'm ready for you to start, because the preparation is obvious. And as a result of all that preparation, your confidence will naturally grow. And now at that point, you are ready to play. Now, that doesn't change the fact that you still may not get the outcome you want. But even then, when that happens, it won't crush you. It won't stop you. It'll actually put you on a path where you're going to want to solve that problem, because you already know you've cracked the code. Now it's a matter of tenacity and consistency. So thank you so much for that question. Honestly, that's a question even I hadn't thought about, because it's one of those, you know, those soft skills that a lot of times get overlooked. But get out there and play. Just do it. You absolutely won't fail for trying, but do your homework. Believe in yourself, and I absolutely believe that you will be more than successful if you take those steps. I believe in you. Let's go get it, all right? Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Bridging the Divide podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review, share with a friend, and give us a follow on all of our platforms. Special thanks to you for taking the time to listen today.